I'm Yasmina Guerda at the United Nations in New York. It has been 15 years since the terrorist attack on the UN compound at the Canal Hotel in Baghdad. In the words of the Secretary General at the time, Kofi Annan, this was the darkest day in our lives at the United Nations. The truck bomb killed 22 international and local staff, including the top UN representative in Iraq, Sergio Vieira de Mello. This was the first time that the UN was deliberately targeted on a massive scale. Current and former staff who survived the blast on 19 August 2003 have been reflecting on the tragedy. Elpida Ruka has a blurred photo of the UN flag flying over the hotel, one of two items that survived her mission with the Oil for Food program in Iraq. It was taken as she entered the UN compound on the day of the attack for final meetings with Mr. Vieira de Mello and others as the program was concluding its activities. Ms. Ruka has limited recollection of the immediate aftermath of the attack, but she will never forget the colleagues whose lives were cut short in the blast. She believes that remembering their service rather than the horror of that day is the most potent reminder of the ideals embodied by the UN flag.
My name is Elpida Ruka. I've been working for the United Nations for 17 years. I spent at least over half of that in field missions like Iraq, Afghanistan, Jerusalem, and now I've been working with the Office of Special Envoy for Syria for the past 4 years this September. I was working for what was known as the Oil for Food program, but for its headquarters in New York. And after the invasion of Iraq, a few months before the attack, the executive director traveled to the field in Iraq to close down the program. And to my good luck, I suppose, I tried desperately to convince him to take me along, which he did, along with my colleague Darko Mochibob. And 19th of August was supposed to be our last date of the mission. We had just returned from the Iraqi Kurdish governorates in the north, and we were about to wrap up our meetings, including with Sergio and the team, when the attack happened. I may not remember a lot of the aftermath or several months thereafter, but memories are quite acute of that incident. I remember capturing the UN flag over what was the headquarters of the Oil for Food program and known as Canal Hotel as we entered the compound around 3:45. I lost all my belongings in the attack with the exception of the picture of the UN flag, which ended up being blurred, and my laissez-passe, which came scorched and shrapneled to me 7 months after the attack in New York. So, as I said, it was 3:45, which is about, I don't know, 25 minutes before the actual attack happened. And we were wrapping up our meetings. Therefore, I went to my office, which was exactly below the one of Sergio's in that part of the building that is now the famous picture of the collapsed three floors into the ground. And I was not supposed to be attending a meeting across the corridor, but exactly at 4:05, the attack was at 4:15, so to speak, Benon Sevan came back across the corridor and said, "I think you should attend this meeting." And literally 10 minutes later, I was sitting across from David Navarro's assistant when I saw the diluting pupils as the light flashed first before we heard the thud and the sound of the impact. And the next thing I remember is Benon Sevan just grabbing me and Ramiro and crashing us to the floor to protect us from the flying shattered glass. Beyond that, I have a huge gap, blackout between how I exited the room, which was literally on the precipice, where the second floor had collapsed and where Sergio and Arthur Hilton were trapped. And when I came out to the lawn, where it was literally like a scene of a massacre. A few hours later, it was the first time in my life I was told I'm a non-essential, and I was sent out to one of the American barracks, which had become a makeshift triage hospital. I remember the moment that news came through the walkie-talkie that the attempts to save Sergio were moot. I remember I was the last one to be stitched up and wearing a T-shirt with Operation Iraqi Freedom on it. And the American soldiers telling me that because it's curfew after 11, I'm not allowed to return back to my base, which I refused to do. And I remember Bob Turner packing five of us and returning us in pitch black Baghdad into our hotels. I so happened to have stayed at the Cedar Hotel, which was by now a haunted hotel because it was the hotel where Sergio and his team were staying. So three floors were all rooms of ghosts. And 3 days later, I was on the last plane out, evacuating the remaining survivors, seeing Salim Lone and I against the red bleeding sunset sky of Baghdad. It's not so much about the events of the attack that that I want people to be familiar with, but it's the message, right? It's 15 years, and you know, a lot of us who have survived were survivors, who were victims, and a surviving family of victims have contemplated whether or not it's worth it every year to go to the commemoration events, right? And I remember speaking 2 years ago exactly on the 13th anniversary and saying that a friend of mine had said, don't you think it's about time to let go? And my comment back was, I know this is a comment out of care, but it made me wonder what the statute of limitations on remembering is and what, why actually commemorating and remembering is important. I got my closure when I went back to Iraq 5 years later. But why I think it's important to remember August 2003 Baghdad is simply because 2003 Baghdad was bigger than Baghdad and has essentially changed everything for the UN, or how we do things, or who we are, what the world thinks of us, and what we think of us. And that doesn't necessarily reflect only about those who we lost in Baghdad, but we have a responsibility, I think, to those we, friends and colleagues who we lost in other places since continue to this day, Afghanistan, Mali, Somalia, Libya, the list is endless, that while the UN blue flag was tainted on that day, we should not forget the UN blue conscience that all these lost colleagues and friends represented. I often think about the colleagues we lost that day and the age they had, which were in their early 30s, Rick, Fiona, Jean-Salim. And they embodied exactly the spirit of the UN flag, defying risks, rising above politics, speaking up for those whose voices were silenced, pushing against all odds and keep going back. And I often think that, you know, it's been 15 years later and they will be around their mid-40s and 50s, and that's such a loss of potential of people who believed in what they were doing, what I call the UN blue recruits. And sometimes I think because we have all been victims to dehumanizing trajectory, I suppose, in the conflicts we're all trapped in, not of our making, those who are trapped in those conflicts in the countries they were born in and those who are serving them, that sometimes we forget what the UN blue stands for.